He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday. It is the September 6th live edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. The market does not like rising oil prices. And we'll talk about that in a minute. What's it doing? It's causing interest rates to go up, and it's causing the markets to go down. The Dow is down 101 right now. That's only 29 basis points, but still, it's triple digits, 34,540 for the Dow. The S&P is down 60 basis points. It's down 27 points, 4,469. And the NASDAQ, the worst of all, down 93 basis points, almost 1%, down 128 points to 13,892. We've learned from past experience that a rise in interest rates impacts the tech and the growth stocks the most, and that's what's going on here again today. The Russell 2000, however, is up 0.4%. Go figure, the small caps up today. Crude oil up 42 cents to 87.11, and we're going to talk a bit about that today for sure because it's a big factor in the market right now. And you've got the 10-year right now at 4.25 when we were at 4.09 last week. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. Barry, nothing good comes from rising oil prices. On the one hand, it's bad for the economy, number one. And number two, it's inflationary. So it's the worst of all worlds.
Yeah, the input costs, right? I mean, it's like you mentioned yesterday, it's in everything.
Yeah.
And it's a big input cost. And like I said, there's certain contracts that are... that are based off of them. Of course, you know, a lot of transportation, diesel fuel, you know, for example, your, you know, Whopper at the, you know, as diesel prices go up, right, they add a surcharge on top of a case of Whoppers, right, that gets cuts into margins or gets passed on to customers, right?
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the line, it affects earnings in a lot of industries, and we've already had a couple of companies today which we'll get to, which are warning now on their earnings, on their quarter, because of rising fuel prices. So there's nothing good that comes from it. It's basically stemming from the cut, the production cut that Saudi Arabia has done, the production cut that Saudi Arabia has continued. Now, we could counter if we had the will, but I doubt that the will is there. I mean, we could say, well, we're going to crank up production. You know, I don't know how long it takes to crank up production, but if you were to, you know, relax the regulations in some areas or whatever it takes, we could fight back. But, you know, here's what we don't have. The bullet we don't have in the gun this time is releasing the strategic petroleum oil reserves because we've basically depleted that. So, anyways, we're not in a good situation right now. The only thing that will bring start to bring oil prices down is weakening demand because I don't see a change in the supply side of the equation. So that's what we're dealing with right now. Now, consider, Barry, last Wednesday we were sitting here doing the show. The 10-year was at 4.09%.
Yep.
The NASDAQ was blazing. The growth stocks were blazing. And now today we're at 4.25%. So we're up 16 basis points from that low. And I'm just going to say that it's all oil related because oil is such a big factor, if not the biggest factor in inflation, right? Or one of the biggest inputs into that inflation number, CPI, et cetera.
Yeah, and certainly the top line number. And when you, you know, when you look at where we were, I saw numbers where we're almost bumping up against 4.3 again on the 10 year this earlier this morning. And in looking at that, you know, you're kind of weighing, you know, longer term inflation, right, versus say, you know, short term interest rates, and you know, there's really nothing's changed in terms of the Fed. You got about a 93% chance right now of at least the market is pricing in, you know, basically a pause at the next meeting. But when you're looking at also with Fed speakers, you know, saying kind of higher for longer, right? Well, then, you know, that's why that on that 10-year side of the equation, right, you're staying a little bit higher, I believe.
Yeah, and the 2 years pushing 5% right now. So, you know, if you're looking for a soft landing, you want no hit to the economy, and you'd want interest rates, inflation going down. Oil, rising oil prices create just the opposite of that.
Right.
On both fronts. Okay, all right, so let's look at yesterday we had a down day in the market also, although we had a pretty good day because of Airbnb, which got added to the S&P 500, and also Tesla had a very good day as their sales in China took an unexpected pretty good jump higher. And, of course, the energy stocks are benefiting from all of this. And now we are into our first full week of September. We're in the countdown to the end of the quarter already. That'll happen in just 3 weeks. And we'll start the whole parade all over again with earnings season. And I will keep you on top of that earnings season. I keep you on top of the expectations right now of where those numbers are at. For the third quarter of 2023 and for the entire year 2023. Later on today, we get the Fed's beige book. That can move the market. You know, it depends on what they said behind closed doors, right, that we weren't privy to. Now we're going to find out what they said behind closed doors.
Well, in the data, you know, it gives you, you know, insight into the, you know, the data, what they're looking at, which is important, at least current in this current environment. The fact that they're so, you know, so being so data dependent, right? I mean, we're, you know, reading some things this morning and picking apart the services sector PMI, and it's just, you know, I still think it's a bit comical in terms of, you know, how focus the market is right on these individual data points and trying to get a read on what the Fed's going to do.
Yep, hyper-focused on the Fed. That's the watch phrase right now. Okay, the S&P is at 4473. Stiefel says we'll end the year at 4400. Ah, well then, you know what? I'm just going to take the rest of the year off if that's the case. Of course, obviously, there's stocks within the S&P 500 and within the indexes that will do a whole lot better. But that's just the latest macro outlook. Stiefel, which is out of St. Louis, argued Monday that it's unlikely that the S&P 500 will reach a new high by the end of 2023. I don't see that either. I mean, not an all-time high. Instead, the firm predicted that the benchmark index will close the year near the 4,400 level, which is 100 points lower. And I bet all the salesmen at Stiefel are going, yeah, you know, you just made our job hard. But anyways, that's where the latest is from Stiefel. Okay, mortgage applications declined to the lowest level since 1996. That's 27-year low. You know, I do have a friend that's a mortgage guy, and, you know, he's pretty sharp at it. He's made a lot of money at it. He's been very good at it. I need to talk to him. I need to see what he's seeing, boots on the ground. But I got to believe with the inventory levels what they are, the refinancing dropping off of a cliff, and these mortgage applications declining to the lowest level in 27 years, I got to believe that that's not good for that entire industry right now.
And you mainly have, I mean, you know, a lot of your deals, right, are going to be, you know, cash buyers at this point.
Yeah.
Simply because of where rates are.
So. Yeah, who's gonna take their 3% loan and sell their home and buy something new at 7%? The Fed can proceed carefully with their next rate move after recent data. Okay, I'm for that. Federal Reserve Governor Christopher Waller said last week's strong economic data will buy the central bank some time. I agree with that. He said it was a very good week for the data that we got last week. It's going to allow us to proceed carefully, he told CNBC. So anyways, I don't think, you know, it was a pretty weak payroll report. The PC inflation wasn't that hot. So, yeah, I doubt very much that we're looking at a rate hike at their next meeting. Now, when we come back, how about the deficit? $2 trillion this year? We're going to spend $2 trillion more than we took in? That will set a new all-time record by a long ways. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show, where we got kind of a sloppy start here to the market with the continued rise in oil prices approaching $87 for West Texas and up around $90 for a Brent crude. And like I say, nothing really good comes from that unless you're in the business or own oil stocks. It's bad for the economy. It's bad for earnings, except for the oil companies, and it's bad for inflation. So it's a double whammy that's not good. Well, we read yesterday that this year is projected to come in at a $2 trillion deficit in 1 year. 12 months, we've managed to spend $2 trillion more, or we will for this year, than we've taken in. And for the first time in history, the interest on the debt is the biggest budget item. Well, interest is deductible, right, Barry? They'll have less to pay on their income taxes.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if that works for their on that side of the equation. Right?
But this is not a good situation at all, a $2 trillion. In 1 year, that's going to smash the old records.
And what do we get for that $2 trillion?
Well, we haven't had any emergencies. There's been no COVID. We're not at war, although we're sending stuff to Ukraine. So that's not good. It doesn't leave you in a good position because there will be adverse things in future years that you kind of have to be prepared for. U.S. trade in goods and service deficit widens to less than expected, only $65 billion this time. We exported $250 billion worth of goods, but we imported $316 billion worth of goods. So that's a deficit of $65 billion. Okay, China had good news. I thought maybe that would boost the market when I saw the news in the after hours last night, but it hasn't. Evergrande jumped 60% as Country Garden. These are both Chinese real estate companies. These are the two big ones that everyone is keeping an eye on as China's property and real estate is their biggest item in their GDP. And when that gets a little bit sideways, which it is now, that hurts their overall economy. But there was good news. They dodged a default. All right. I don't know if they just kicked the can down the road, if it's inevitable. Let's just look at the Chinese market. I look at FXI, Chinese ETF. It's up 60 basis points today. Continued bad news out of Germany. Let's look at the German ETF, which is EWG. That's in a slide. Doesn't look very good. Their factory orders drop 11.7%. That's a big drop. That's a significant drop. And it comes on, you know, a lot of other, their PMI was the steepest deterioration since 2020. Germany is kind of the eye of the hurricane that might be coming to the European economy. I don't know, but it doesn't look good over there, all right?
Well, there's a one, you know, they're in this position where, you know, they really need to, you know, likely stimulate growth, right? But at the same time, fighting inflation on the other end. And so you're in this kind of in-between zone where, you know, at some point, Germany, you know, is going to be the, if you're going to have the EU, you know, expand, right, at least from a growth standpoint, then, you know, it's going to be driven by Germany. So,
yeah,
you know, the ECB is going to have to do things to essentially promote growth in Germany, which will do other things elsewhere, right, either good or bad. So
they need to stimulate the German economy. Okay, here's a big winner in the market today. And it is one of the 19 stocks that we own in our emerging growth portfolio, where we really go out at the end of the scale towards emerging technologies, you know, disruptive type companies, young growth companies that someday may really grow into something big. Look at the chart on AeroVironment, AVAV. That thing is up 28% today, and as I say, it is one of the 19 positions that we do own in our emerging growth portfolio. What it's 36 times normal volume is trading. Their earnings of $1 per share beat by 70 cents. I mean, this is just a smashing report. And their revenue of $152 million beats by $21 million. What do? They make drones. And they make very advanced drones. In fact, you could say that this is one of the very top companies. It is one of the top companies in the drone industry. And, you know, drones, there's obviously a big future to drones. It took a while for them to get off the ground, the stocks, pardon the pun. But drones are playing a big role in good ways and in bad ways. You know, if you're selling a home, you know, you see aerial shots.
Aerial,
you know,
shots, the
taken
roof,
from
right?
Drones, can, from the surrounding area and whatnot.
I've seen it for roof repair. I've seen a, you know, company, someone, you know, who buy, you know, buying a commercial property and using it to look at the, you know, look at the roof and things of that nature. So
yes, and
lots of uses.
They can also carry bombs, and they can also carry munitions. They can also carry packages or pizzas from Domino's. Who knows what the future of drones is? But this is a $3.2 billion market cap company. It was only about 2.2 before it started the day. It's up $900 million in market cap today, and we do own it. It's out of Arlington, Virginia, but I think they have a big presence in Monrovia, California.
Arlington, Virginia is probably a good place to sell the bomb kind of drones.
That, yeah, I'm sure they've got
pretty
a
close
few,
to the Pentagon.
I'm sure they've got a few government contacts. But anyways, the improved profit outlook, that's the winner. That's the stock of the day. And it's always nice to own the stock of the day. We've had quite a few winners. Now, here come the warnings, all right? We are 3 weeks away from the end of the third quarter of 2023. Which areas of the market, which sector do you think is going to be warning? United Airlines warns on impact from higher jet fuel prices. Barry, didn't you get stranded? Were you flying United?
No. I was actually flying. We flew Breeze, and they had an engine, some kind of plane maintenance, and didn't have a plane backup. But
okay, well, yeah. I don't want to get on a plane with.
I'm okay when it's not the plane. Yeah, I'm okay when it's, you know, plane issue, and they're kind of like, I don't want to take off either. So
no. All right, so anyways, there's your first warning. I got a couple more here. UAL is actually not responding. It's actually up a little bit. Okay, now Southwest Airlines falls after guiding for higher fuel costs, and that is LUV. It's down 2.3%. Not a good-looking chart at all. Getting no love whatsoever on that profit warning. We'll be right back.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Let's just check in on the market. Well, the NASDAQ down 121. I wish I would have checked in. But it is down 121. There's nothing we can do about that. It's down 87 basis points. The Russell 2000 small caps hanging on to a two-point gain. The Dow 30 down 38 basis points to 34,511. S&P down 65 basis points. That tells me the weakness has got to be in tech today. I haven't had a chance. I will in the final segment of the show to kind of dig in and see where the action is. Now, I know there's some problems with Apple today, and I'm sure that's not helping. Yeah, Apple is down 2.8%. You say, what happened to Apple? Did Apple report bad news? No. There's bad news out of China. At least there's rumors. I don't know if it's rumors or actual news, but there's definitely something to it. As China reportedly orders government agencies to stop using iPhones at work. Well, I don't know what that's all about. They have their version of the iPhone, the Huawei, which we kicked out of the U.S., and we've banned, we've off and on banned TikTok. This may be in revenge against us.
I want to know how many businesses in China aren't considered part of a government agency.
I think everybody exactly. Is a government agency
by default,
in
right?
some way or
by
another,
default.
Getting some kind, giving some kind of money to the Chinese government. That's not a good news for Apple, and so that's going to be a drag. That's probably a big reason behind, and when we get into the indexes themselves, it can't be helping. Apple's down 2.8%. It's a massive piece of the S&P 500, and it's a massive weighting in the Dow, obviously. So that's, if you're wondering why your Apple stock is down today, that would be the other reason, along with the oil. Now, I have a little bit more on this oil situation. The national average price of a gallon of regular gasoline now stands at $3.81 per gallon. Of course, it's a lot higher in states like California, etc., making it the highest seasonal level since 2012. Higher energy costs could dent hopes and forecasts for a soft landing, which is what we were just saying, because it produces the opposite results of a soft landing. Now,
well, it takes more of your spending power away, right?
Yeah.
As a consumer, right? You're instead of buying LV, some Louis Vuitton, right? You're buying gas, I guess.
Yeah, unleaded.
Yeah.
And the other thing is it's global, okay? It affects everybody around the world, including China and Europe, which are already struggling a little bit with their economies. Now, I don't know what we're doing, but following the announcement, U.S. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan said that President Biden is doing everything within his toolkit to be able to get lower prices for consumers at the gas pump. And as I think about his toolkit, what might that be? Really the only thing he has in his toolkit is to increase our production. He doesn't have the strategic oil reserves anymore. He doesn't really have clout, I don't think, to threaten Saudi Arabia. You better turn the spigot up. They don't seem to care. It's 381. That's the highest seasonal level since 2012. And in no way is it good for the economy or for inflation. All right. Meta employees return to the office 3 days a week under a new mandate. And we're seeing this more and more. I was reading something about, I think it might have been federal buildings or government buildings. They're like 90% empty across America. You know, the real estate, I don't know, how does the real estate survive in San Francisco, in Los Angeles, in San Diego, in Chicago, in all of these cities where, there's New York City, a vast majority of these office buildings are, and then let's not
forget, and the infrastructure around them, right?
The
Starbucks, your local sandwich shop, all the, everything from, high-end corporate, locations to mom and pop locations.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so now a couple stocks are being recommended here today. Now, where do I begin when I see somebody come out and say, well, Walmart impresses Morgan Stanley, which Morgan Stanley doesn't have a lot of credibility with me because they've been wrong so much. You know, if you're constantly wrong, I'm supposed to believe take your advice. I don't know. Walmart impresses Morgan Stanley due to its potential to improve margins. My problem is it has 37% upside potential over the next 5 years. We require 75 to 80% or more. It would take a massive increase in their margins in an inflationary environment. I got to believe Walmart is impacted greatly by oil prices.
Well, yeah, and they're correlated to, a lot of the expenses, at least in this environment, that you don't want to be correlated to. Number one, labor, right? They're one of the biggest employers in the U.S. And like you said, number two being, the fact that they're, from a transportation cost standpoint, they're correlated to the cost of transportation.
Oh, yeah.
Oil, diesel oil products being one of them. And then just the products in general, right? I mean, those rubber bowls, right,
yeah,
are going to get, plastic bowls will get more expensive as well. So
I don't like, the most important, one of the most critical, the app, which has 5,840 or something like that stocks in it right now, mutual funds and ETFs, that five-year target price is really critical. I mean, looking at Walmart and seeing 37.3% upside potential, how easy is that decision for me to eliminate it from any consideration whatsoever to add to my portfolios? That is really nice. The process of elimination works greatly. And you know what? That new app, we're on track. This thing's going to come out. September the 15th is the deadline that the developers have for me, and they're getting very close. It's going to be gorgeous when it's done and have a lot more capability. Not that it already is not. It's very valuable. I would be I use it 100% along with Market Smith charts. To help narrow down the universe for me every day. And just looking at Walmart, 37.3% upside potential. The problem with Walmart, a big component of the valuation number is growth. Okay, if you're growing at 3 or 4%, it's hard. It's extremely difficult. The stock would have to crater, and the earnings estimates would have to stay the same. That's not going to happen. Or their margins would have to go through the roof in order for them to meet that valuation criteria. Goldman Sachs, okay, they like Bed Bath and Body Works. Well, I think it's a very good stock. I mean, a very good company, very good franchise. But when I look at their upside potential, BBWI, 32% upside. So I don't know. Look, did the Morgan Stanley guys, are they taught a different method of picking stocks, Goldman Sachs? Or they, I thought they get the best talent. That's just me looking from the outside. Why would you recommend a stock where it's hard to make a case for a valuation 5 years from now that's much higher than where it is today?
Well, and then, you know, they're obviously it's the starts at the macro level, right? Where they're have been obviously your friend Mike there calling for a recession, and so the names that you would move to, right, in that event, right? Walmart, historically has been one of those names that you would go to as consumers trade down, right? As their pocketbook gets slimmer.
Yeah, okay. So what does a parking spot in rough times warrant buying the stock? No.
Right.
I want to make money. And if it's got 32% over the next 5 years, that's under good conditions. That just eliminates it for me entirely. But I look at these things, hey, maybe they found something. But no, I can't see it. And last but not least, Roku, which is in a heavily competitive environment. They're going to lay off a bunch of people. That's good news. The stock is up 7.5% and close to a 52-week high, believe it or not, on Roku, who has never made any money yet. Always lose money. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. And the issue with the market today, the big seven are having, pretty much all of them are struggling. But a few in particular, I would call out Apple for sure. Apple's down 2.7% right now. So that's impacting the NASDAQ in a big way. And it's impacting the S&P 500 in a big way. And it's impacting the Dow in a big way. And why is Apple down? Because it's reported that China has told all government officials to stop using Apple phones. Okay, so there's one issue with the market today. As I look at the Dow, there's only a few stocks that are up, really. Salesforce is up 1.2%, kind of bucking the trend of big tech. Not a bad chart, actually, on Salesforce at all. And Walmart is up just under 1% right now, probably on the upgrade. It's a good chart on Walmart, and it's been a pretty good year for Walmart. I just have a hard time getting that valuation to where it needs to be. It's risk to reward. I mean, how much reward potential is there? There's not enough for me to take the risk. Maybe it is a good parking place, but that's not enough for me. Pfizer's down 2.1 in the Dow, not helping the Dow. Merck's down 2. Johnson & Johnson down 1.9. So Big Pharma suffering a little bit today. As I look at the S&P 500, there's only a few winners. I'm not sure what's up with Dexcom, but it's up 6.4%. That's the continuous glucose monitoring. One of the best stocks we ever found. We don't own it anymore, but, man, what a ride that was. SE's up 4.8%. That's the company out of Singapore. That is kind of the Amazon, in a way, of Singapore. And Harley-Davidson's up 3.3%. Now, on the downside in the S&P, and this shows you where the weakness is right now, Tesla, which had a good day yesterday, is giving it up today. Tesla is down 3.7%. So there you've got two major players, Apple and Tesla, both down pretty heavily today. You also have the banks, the big banks, or the regional banks down today. I don't know what's up with that. Normally they do better when interest rates are going up. But you've got Comerica down 3.4%. Let's hope there's not more issues at the banks. And you've got Zion down 3.4% also. Both of those very much sideways, not very good looking charts. And then you've got a couple of big horses. NVIDIA's down 3% today. That's obviously one of the biggest horses in the market today. It's actually down 3.3%. I think they're being hurt by the rising interest rates. We're at 309 last week, or was it 409, and we're at 4.26 today. So we're up 17 basis points. Yeah, because of these rising oil prices.
Yeah, and if you overweigh, you overweigh something like, TBT and the, and the S&P 500 or the NASDAQ would be even more, probably more correlated, or, something that, it's kind of like inverse the 10-year treasury, and it's pretty, market currently, as we talk about a lot, is, highly correlated to rates, particularly when there's, we're not in an earnings season right now, so we don't, we only have one narrative really to look at.
Yeah, hyper correlated to that, to rates, and that's in fact impacting the multiple in the middle. Which is part of that equation. It's earnings times a multiple equals the valuation. Okay, well, we're headed for Michigan. That's 5 weeks out now. I'll get a commercial going for that. I know that only impacts a few of our listeners, but if you're in that area, we have quite a few. We're on a station back there near Detroit.
Yeah, October 16th.
So yes, exactly. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, Edie is setting up 45-minute to an hour meetings.
I think that's 17th, 18th, and 19th, right?
Okay, 17th, 18th, and 19th. I would get that wrong.
16th, I think we'll be in on
travel
Monday.
Day.
Yeah, we'll be in on Monday. That's why you got 16th on the brain.
Unless they cancel the flights, those appointments will fill up. You're meeting with myself and Barry in there. And you know what? We're going to get right to brass tacks, right? Get right down to the details and see if there's a way that we might be able to help you with your retirement needs. And you can meet with us in person. We're going to be at the, what's the name of that hotel? It's a DoubleTree. I'll get it.
I meant to ask her yesterday when I was traveling. I think it's a DoubleTree property, if I'm not
mistaken. It's a nice place, and it's near Detroit, but I'll get the exact little town that it's in. But if you'd like to set up an appointment with us, we'll be starting those appointments at like 8 in the morning. We usually go to 5 or 6 in the evening. We want to meet if we're going to make the trip, we may as well make it worth while and meet with as many people as possible, but there are a limited number of appointments that we have.
And it's our first time getting up there too.
Our first time for
work purposes.
We started on that radio station maybe a year ago, maybe a little more than that, and we got a lot of followers in that area. So I'm real anxious to go back and meet the folks. You can reach us at 855-611-BEST to make a reserve a spot with us, 855-611-BEST, or Gunderson Capital. I'll have something on the website soon to where you can also do it through the website, 855-611-BEST or GundersonCapital.com. We have a new article out today on Seeking Alpha. They're wanting an article a week from me, so I have to step it up. A little bit. I've been kind of lax in the articles, but
been plenty of other stuff going on.
Yeah, there's plenty to write about every week. It's time consuming, but definitely worthwhile. So you can go to seekingalpha.com, type in Bill Gunderson, and see our latest article out there on Seeking Alpha. And to get 2 free weeks of the newsletter, which updates that macro outlook, that all-important macro outlook. I can't emphasize how important that is every single week. Also the portfolios. For 2 weeks, you get the full Monty, the portfolios, the client live trading newsletter. 2 free weeks at Gunderson Capital. .com or 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.